All right, everyone. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast. I am Crystal. I am the hot widow of Eric. And with me tonight, I have Allie, who is the hot widow of Ross.
Hello.
And she's so sweet. She's smiling away right now. She's giggling because we have some interesting things that we need to talk about on our podcast, but we just can't quite do it yet. So I think now is a good time to just say it's really important for you to continue listening to the Hot Widows Club podcast because something big is coming and it's interesting. So
yeah,
I'm just going to toss that out there.
And let's just throw that out there. It's not really related to Allie because I don't have a life.
It is very relatable to the Hot Widows Club podcast.
Yes.
I think that's super important.
It's related to being a widow. Right?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
1000%.
Yeah. So tonight's episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast, which is not going to be the teaser we're leading up to for future episodes, but I can tell you that tonight's episode's probably going to be bomb dig too.
Totally.
Are you taking a picture of me?
I'm taking a video.
I'm not wearing very many clothes.
So that we have some content
for
our Instagram. So a backstory, I have to post to Instagram. I don't have to, but Crystal will send me texts. Allie, can you post something? We need to post something.
Because Allie insists on owning the Instagram account.
Because only one, anyways, it doesn't matter. You keep saying we need to post stuff, right?
Right.
So either whoever's doing it, we need to post stuff, right? You can post to Facebook. But for whatever reason, I'm like, okay, I will post something. And then I did recently. Because Crystal talks about she's so strong that she can do the monkey bars. And she talks about it on here. I know we've talked about it. And so I had gotten a video of her doing the monkey bars one night. And I posted it on Instagram thinking that she was thinking this is awesome. She hated it.
It's because I was scantily clad. Didn't want that on the interwebs.
You were not.
My shirt was up over my, like, I felt like I was half dressed. Of course, I go out half dressed. I don't know why you're talking. Like, sitting here half dressed. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just didn't want that on the internet.
Yeah. Well, she looked great. And I thought, okay, well, we talk about this on the podcast. I'll share it. Anyways, maybe you guys saw a glimpse of it. Most of you probably didn't because I deleted it within hours.
Allie's naughty because she posts. So Allie and I are totally opposite, as anyone knows, right? Allie is up all night. And I'm
I
up,
have to be.
Yes. And I'm up first thing in the morning. So she posted at night and then I get it at 4 o'clock in the morning when I get up.
Yeah.
And so it was not bad. It wasn't the worst thing.
No, you look great.
Wow.
And you were showing, I mean, you like, I was proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being an excellent supporter.
Always. I'm always here for you.
Thank you.
So I was trying to take a video of you for our Instagram. And, you know, just some content that maybe you guys would be interested in.
Yes. What it looks like when we sit here and podcast. I wore shoes tonight, so get a picture of that.
I got a video.
Thank goodness. I got my hair done today.
Yeah, we'll do a close-up.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, I am going to update our listeners on the carpool lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like a clown car going. You can fit 7 people in my car. 5 comfortably. And so I pick up all these kids plus their instruments and their backpacks. And when I get to drop them all off, they have to crawl out the back. So every door opens and all these kids come out of my car.
Yeah.
I need a more efficient way to get them out. So I need to work on that. So that's coming up soon on next episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast.
Maybe you should get a minivan.
Never. Do I strike you as someone who would drive a minivan?
No, I hate minivans. No offense to anybody who drives a minivan.
Yes. Please write in if you think that I should drive a minivan.
I'm telling you no. I'm just.
I love riding in minivans, though. I love.
Yeah, they're easy.
They're so easy.
Yeah, especially when you go on trips.
Yeah.
They're really handy.
Mm-hmm. I am envious of people who have them.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think I would buy one. It's too big for me.
Yeah, it's not my style.
Mm-hmm. So big news for tonight's episode of the podcast. So I have a wedding tomorrow night. And any of you widows out or widowers out there, when you have to go to your first wedding, I am not envious of you. Allie, I know you had to go to your first wedding like 4 months after Ross passed away. And you were the maid of honor, right?
Yeah, not only was it a wedding, I was the maid of honor to my sister. And it was by far the hardest day, probably since Ross has passed. It's still probably one of the hardest days. It's hard for me to talk about because it was my sister's happiest day. And so I never want to make her feel bad, but it was by far the hardest day. And the reason why is because you don't realize how music can affect you until a song comes on and I lose it. Still to this day, I'll be driving and a certain song will come on and I will just start crying. And so I felt like I was crying that whole day because there was so much music, like love music, right? Like lovey-dovey music the whole day. And then on top of that, Ross had talked about that wedding and he kept saying how he was so excited to go to the wedding and he couldn't wait to just have fun, you know, just let loose.
Right.
He had been going through chemo treatments, you know, just to let loose COVID and all that crap. And so it was really hard to be there when he should have been there because he had talked about it and he was so excited for that day.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the hardest day.
I bet. My first wedding was about the same time frame. So my first wedding was my nanny after Eric passed away. So Eric passed away the end of February and Gina got married, I think, in June. And I came in late and I was bawling. I bawled the whole way to the wedding. I had to wear a mask still. And I'm crying all the way through my mask, all the way through the reception. And finally, like when they were getting ready for the father-daughter dance, I was like, nope, because Gina's dad was like always a dad to my own kids because my nanny is the daughter of my kid's daycare provider. And so I was not going to watch Brad and Gina dance and just turn into a freaking puddle on the floor right there. So the kids and I left and I was heartbroken and I was so torn because I wanted to be so happy for this super special day. It's just like your sister, right? I don't want to ruin their day.
Right.
And every time Gina would look at me and she would cry and then I would cry and I was like, I'm just impacting everyone here. I just need to make an exit.
Yeah. I had to give a speech too.
Oh, Allie.
I had to give a speech. I had to get up there. It was so hard.
Bet.
Again, though, I was like, okay, I can do hard things and I can stand up here. I did cry. But I did it. And it's one of my favorite speeches I've ever given.
So as I've gotten to know Allie in the past 18 months, I have gotten to know her family and friends very well. And they're absolutely all freaking amazing. I can't find one fault in any of them. Like, I want to be around them all the time. And rumor on the street is that she fucking killed it that night. Despite the energy that she was feeling and the pain that she was going through, she absolutely
it was all Ross. He helped me. Speech. But thank you, Crystal. My family loves you too. And all my friends love you.
Yeah.
They always say, when's the celebrity coming?
I'm
Crystal's
sorry.
Crystal's my celebrity friend.
If y'all are listening, I am not a celebrity, nor should anyone treat me that way because that's not me at all. But I appreciate that.
Yeah, they all love you.
And I love them. So my second wedding was Eric's cousin got married. And that one I had to stay for all of the dances and I had to watch the father-daughter dance and I had to watch the first bride and groom dance. And I cried, but I made it through that one. That was like in September of last year. But now, shout out Tanner and Ellen. Can't wait to be there tomorrow night. I have the cutest dress, super excited, and I'm not nervous. Not anxious. I'm not like, oh my God, I don't want to go. One of my best friends surprised me this week and she's coming into town. Eric's family will, you know, be around this weekend too. And I'm so excited to see everybody and get after this wedding and hopefully not cry.
Yeah, it's okay to cry.
I know.
It's okay.
I know it's okay to cry and I'm fine crying. But for me, I don't cry that often. And it's such a downer for me that takes me out for almost, it did last year. It hasn't this year. This year I can cry and be just fine. I can cry and recover. So maybe I'm okay crying a little bit. But last year it just took me down for hours sometimes, like just super sad.
Yeah. I have found this year that when I cry, it's almost like a release.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to feel better after. I don't know. It's like I needed to let out some of that pain instead of holding it in.
Right.
So I have come to terms that sometimes when I feel that cry and I'm in public, sometimes I just let it go now. I think it also goes to the fact that I just don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either.
You know, I just don't care anymore what people think of me, because my life has been, I'm just a different person. And my life has been torn upside down. And, you know, you never know when your last day is. And so I'm just like living my life like I don't really care.
Right.
About what people think of me. I'm still a kind person. I want to be a good person. If you are uncomfortable that I'm crying in front of you, then maybe you just aren't supposed to be around me. Right.
Absolutely. Yes. I just bought a shirt that says, if you think my personality is too big for you, go look for less. Because you know what? If you don't really want to be around me, I'm cool with that. I have to accept that, because life's way too short to be dicking around with people that don't matter, things that don't matter. We talked about our last episode. We talked about, and I've talked since then a number of times to people about thinking that I said, you know, my husband dying was the worst thing that could happen to me. And then I kind of retracted that because I'm like, way worse things really could happen. And I've been processing through that and thinking like, people have been through a lot of stuff. And life does some crazy things to us, things that we can't control, things we don't know about, things we don't understand, things outside of our powers. And we persevere. And as a human being, that's a really cool thing, that we can find our perseverance to get through really hard things.
Yeah.
But if you can't handle the really hard things that have made me who I am, you can lick it. Like a lollipop should be licked, because you can screw off, because that's who we are. That's where life put us, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. I have lately I've been thinking about this, and maybe I feel like you're in a different headspace, maybe a little bit, but I think this is grief too. But having good things happen to you, at least to myself, is bizarre to me. I'm so used to like sad and hard things that I'm almost more attracted to it, because I know I can get through it, and I've been through a lot of that. But like the good things, like the really happy moments, or like the good positive things that are happening to me, I have a harder time with. And I think it's because I'm so worried about losing that, and because I know what that feels like to like go to be really happy and have the world in front of you and then have it ripped apart, that I am trying to like work through having good things happen or doing good things and just living in that, and accepting that I have happiness inside of me too. Mm-hmm. If I'm making any sense. Grief is just the weirdest thing, where sometimes you just want to be stuck in the sadness because it's so comforting, because I'm so used to it, that pulling myself out and living in the happiness is almost a bizarre feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I think because we went through such a low and such a fog and such a traumatizing event, that living in happiness is a completely different feeling than it was previously.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense?
Yeah. Do you think that you've found anything that makes you happy since Ross died?
I have a lot of things that make me happy. It's just that the happiness is different. And I also worry about that. It's hard for me to accept that happiness.
Yeah.
More than I can accept the sadness. Because I feel like the sadness is so ingrained in me, and hard things are so ingrained, that the happy things are now more odd to me. They're odd.
Yeah.
They're weird.
I totally understand where you're coming from. That is where I was at earlier this year. And I had some really crappy things happen to me earlier this year that devastated me. I had one particular situation that has, without a doubt, rocked my world in 2021 that I haven't talked about on the podcast. I think probably only Allie really knows about it, but it was a very devastating moment in my life. And or 2022, not 2021. And it literally rocked my world. And I can't say enough about how impactful this event was to me, but it took me down hard. And at that point, I realized I had to process through a lot of things, and I realized how much I've changed and who I was today versus who I was in 2021, or even who I was the day before this thing happened to me. And I found with that situation that it hurt so, so bad. I had to claw out of it again, and I clawed out of it so much faster, and I was able to find happiness again. And so climbing out of that situation and finding things that made me happy, because I was processing through who I was, who this new crystal was, is what really took me to the headspace that Ali's alluding to, that I'm in a different space. And I began to accept things differently, and I began to look at my work differently. I became super satisfied with the work that I was doing, which I hadn't in a year and a half. I hadn't been pleased with my work output. I hadn't been pleased with my progress. And just finding the good in people again was so huge to me. And I think that is really where I found my path forward and accepting where I was at and moving forward to today. But I am scared to death about going back to that dark space that I was in January and February of this year, because that was so, so horrible for me.
Yeah.
And so I refuse to let that happen. But one of the things that Ali and I talk about with that is the changing of the seasons and how difficult that is right now.
Yeah. Going from spring to fall is just changing. Yes.
I got you.
Summer to fall.
Always got your back, girl.
But before we go there, what I want to say is you have the tools now that if something really bad happens again, that you, I think, will be able to adapt or get out of it, as you said,
yeah,
quicker than you did losing Eric.
You're right. You're right about that.
And that's what we have evolved to, is that I agree with you. Like I've had really hard things happen to me in the last year, but I've been able to use the tools from this grief to help me get out of it. I'm just in this weird space where the happiness and the constant happiness is no other word but bizarre. It's a bizarre feeling to me, because for so long, I was worried about another human, about his health and well-being, how he was feeling mentally, making sure he was okay, taking care of two little kids, watching him die, watching him take his last breath, planning a funeral, planning a burial, going through grief, trying to figure out how to be a single parent. Right. It was like bam, 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 bam of horrible, hard, traumatic things. And so now I have so many more tools to help me with those hard things, that the good things and sitting in a good headspace is so weird. That's all I have to say. That's where I'm at right now.
That's okay.
And I'm not saying I haven't had happy things before. It's just that I've had more consistent. I feel like I'm in a better, happier headspace than I have been in a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's like just a weird feeling to be so consistently in that and being confident. Like, I feel like I'm more confident.
I think you're more confident.
Yeah. And so it's just figuring out the new Ali,
yeah,
you know, and the new Ali is just still evolving.
Still hot. I can tell you that much. New Ali did not disappoint, let me tell you.
In what there?
In the hot department.
The hot department. I don't know about
She's
that.
She's got a great looking dress on tonight. Yeah. So I can empathize with that, Ali. I can definitely connect to that. I'm new happy feels weird. Mm-hmm. It feels different. It feels foreign. It feels like something it shouldn't be happening to me.
Yes.
It feels like, oh, somebody else should have this. I don't deserve this.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. That's what mm-hmm. I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No, I got you, girl.
Okay. It just took a little bit.
Yeah. The way you articulated it was absolutely stunning. I mean, it was perfect. I'm simply paraphrasing what you did a great job at communicating. But yeah, it just feels like I don't deserve this. It shouldn't be happening to me.
Exactly. It's
I'm Eeyore. Right?
Which everybody would think you deserve that more than anybody.
Right.
But it's really weird for me.
I'm with you. I feel that same way. I feel like I don't deserve where I'm at. I don't deserve what I've gotten.
I do have a couple questions for you.
Oh, good. Excellent.
So we had and I thought this was a good question. Maybe the audience has some good tools as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a fellow widow who needs our help.
Mm.
She lost her husband about a year ago. So it's been about 1 year. So okay. It was September 2021. And I don't fully know the story, but she lost her husband and she has trauma from the death, from watching him take his last breath. You and I have both talked about that a little bit. We both haven't shared that story because I also have extreme trauma from that week and I'm not ready to share that.
Mm-hmm.
But her question was, she is still having nightmares.
Mm.
A year later, she's having a hard time sleeping and she's still having nightmares from that event. And she was asking me, what have you done, Crystal, to help with nightmares, to help with sleeping while you're grieving, while you're going through trauma?
So I'm going to give you physically two things first. I just was talking to another widower about that. And he was having issues sleeping too. And I said, well, the first key to sleeping is drink 120 ounces of water a day and exercise every single day. So exhausting your body has always been my trick. And so I like to get up early, exhaust my body, so that by the time it's time to go to bed, I have no headspace left. And so I have a really demanding job too, where I critically think all day long.
Same, yep.
And so all that critical thinking, physical activity, excellent nutrition, perfect hydration, I sleep pretty well now. But that is not the case in the first 6 to 8 months. So I think in those first 6 to 8 months after Eric passed away, I call it live in the mess. I'm sure I've talked about that before. I just accepted the fact that I wasn't going to sleep because of that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just the trauma, but it was the grief too. I cried so much. Even the crying couldn't put me to sleep those first 6 months. The trauma that happened with Eric's death, the way I look at death is different. It was hard on me because he was gone. But the event in and of itself was very scientific and beautiful. And the fact that it happened peacefully with him and I alone, Eric timed it so perfect. I had some friends over and they wanted to have lunch with me. And I was really tired. And I said, I don't want to have lunch. Why don't you guys leave? I want to go lay with Eric for a little bit. And so I went up and lay with Eric and I had put on the Mindy Project. Eric hated the Mindy Project so much. I love the Mindy Project. One of my favorite TV shows. The total chick flick. And so I have it on and he's breathing and I turned it off and because I got tired and I curled up next to him. And as I curled up next to him, I put my arm over his chest and he was kind of on his side. And I swear he mumbled something. I don't know what he mumbled, but he mumbled something. And he took that last breath and he died. And it was just him and I. And I called Allison. I said, come down here. Allison is my neighbor who's a nurse. I think he died. And I buried my head in his shoulder and I just soaked our bed with tears. I soaked his shoulder with tears and I just laid there. But I accepted it as a beautiful scientific event as well. That's the circle of life, right? That's how that happened. I didn't have trauma in the actual event. So I can't say that I had nightmares about that week or that event that I'm recalling. Allison will tell you something though. Allison is a very dear friend of mine who walked along my entire journey beside me. She's hilarious, but she told me the other day that she can't listen to the podcast. She says, because you recall things different than I do, Crystal.
Mm.
And I said, like, what? And she's like, well, accepting Eric's ashes, there's a very different story that I saw versus what you saw.
Oh, interesting.
And so I know. And I said, well, tell me more. Like, what else is there? Because admittedly, I was in a fog. I was in a coma. I have no idea what was going on, right? So my only recollection is trying to go back and process through. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
That is interesting. I'm sure people did see a different story.
I'm sure.
Than we felt or saw.
Absolutely. We were tunnel vision.
Oh, yes.
So I don't have a great answer for that, Allie, besides, you know, treat your body really well and see if that helps, if that changes anything. Making adjustments to your body can be lengthy. You know, that can take a good 60 to 90 days to show any sort of changes, but that's always helpful. Stay away from drugs, alcohol. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's definitely alcohol. I find alcohol to be a depressant.
Yeah.
And it makes me sadder.
Yeah. I didn't consume any alcohol that first, probably 16. The first time I probably drank was really once we started the podcast, to be honest.
Thank you, podcast.
Yeah, thank you, podcast. But I stayed away from all drugs, all alcohol, like no prescription drugs, no street drugs, no alcohol, none
still
of that.
Still to this day,
right?
Yeah.
And so I, as you guys know, tend to drink more tequila than Asia, but that really helps to clear your mind, clear your body.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely had trauma. I have for sure trauma from that week. The Ross's passing was also very beautiful. Looking back, but I had a very different experience in Crystal. Ross did pass away in our bed. I was laying with him. Gus was with me. His last breaths were, you know, at the moment, something I had never experienced. Mm-hmm. Again, looking back, it was beautiful. But leading up to that moment, what was different is Ross was he was moving. He was walking and talking like 2 hours before he passed. I know Eric was pretty much bedridden for a while.
Mm-hmm. Probably at least 3 days.
Yeah. Ross was walking 2 hours before he passed. And so there's just a lot of trauma from that. And watching somebody's body just decline is... Yeah, it's something that, you know, we'd never talk about. People won't ever talk about death, so you can't be prepared for it. And I feel like I do on this podcast want to talk about it. I want to make death not such a thing that we don't talk about. And I want to share my trauma and I want to share the experiences I had with in-home hospice. I think that's like a huge part of that week. Mm-hmm. And I was recalling that week the other day, because every time I think about that week, I cry because I think of something new. But this is a crazy story. And I realized it. I just thought of it like last week. And so I have to share it. So Ross passed away on a Saturday, and this was Wednesday of that week. And one of his best friends lives in the neighborhood, kind of like, I don't know, pretty close to us. And there's a trail that connects our neighborhood to his neighborhood. Ross was very private and didn't really share that he was in hospice. He was kind of just trying to spend all of his time with me and the boys and those close to him. And so he didn't call his friends, kind of like Connie talked about. It was not like that. Ross was 1000% focused on us. And Wednesday, he gets a call from his buddy who was biking on that trail, literally gets in a bike accident right by our house.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And calls Ross and is like, I need help. And so Ross was like, I'm in hospice at our house. Like, I can help you walk over here. Cause Ross was still lucid at this point. Uh-huh. He still needed help. Like, I didn't want him driving or walking at this point. But so his friend comes over and they have a 2-hour conversation, and Ross like explains everything that's going on and is showing him around the house, like just a normal conversation.
Wow.
And I will never forget, because at the wake, he comes up to me and he goes, I would have never seen Ross had I not got in that bike accident.
Oh my gosh.
And it was a freaking sign from God that I needed to be there.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. So all these little things, you know, at the moment were no big deal or like, but now it's like one that it was a sign. So anyways, that's just one of the stories. But I, for trauma, for me, I haven't had a lot of nightmares, I'll be honest. And I don't really have time to work out. As you guys all know, I would love to run, but just not there yet. I also have a job that's like demanding. So that does help, just like wearing out my mind and keeping myself distracted. I definitely stay away from alcohol. I have found that alcohol affects me in not a good way. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I would share is that before bed, and I know a lot of people say don't watch TV before bed, but I swear by it for me that watching something is the only thing that takes my mind off of grief.
Yeah.
Because it's the only thing I can.
Me too.
That doesn't get my mind wandering. Like even reading a book, my mind wanders. Even going for a walk outside,
yeah,
my mind is still thinking. But watching, for whatever reason, watching a TV show, it distracts me so much that it gets my mind off of reality.
Yeah.
So if you have that available, I would suggest watching just like a funny TV show. I personally love The Office.
Yeah.
You know, they're 30-minute episodes and they're hilarious, and it's just something that helps me before bed.
I watch Schitt's Creek usually. I keep rewatching it. Yeah. Or Parks and Rec is good and Office is good. But I do agree. Seinfeld is really good.
Yeah, Ross loves Seinfeld.
I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. If anyone ever wants to write in and just go back and forth with Seinfeld quotes, I'm your gal.
We watched it a lot when I gave birth to Gus.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of, you know, stuck at your house.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I love that show. So I wish I could be better advice, but I'm like, Ellie, I don't have a lot of that. I don't have a lot of nightmares.
Mm-mm.
Haven't had those. Thank goodness. I'm my heart goes out to you. That's got to be really tough to go navigate through.
Absolutely. I hope maybe some of these tips will help. If anybody has experience with nightmares and wants to share some advice, email us.
Yeah. At the Hot Widows Club podcast at gmail.com or on Facebook or Instagram.
Yes.
Blog coming soon. I need to do that.
You do.
I also need to get my passport. It is the last goal for this year. And I'm already in the burr months. September, October, November, December. I'm running out of time and I never miss a goal.
You got 4 months. So I know. Better get on it.
My birthday's coming up.
I know. I'm excited. I'll get to spend it with you.
I know. October used to be my absolute favorite month in the world. And now I'm devastated because I used to love to decorate for Halloween with skeletons. And we always had like skeleton families and skeleton cookout and skeletons carrying coffins. And now skeletons just remind me of my husband. Because that's what he looked like when he died. And it's really sad. Hopefully this year I can start to overcome that.
Do you ever have or do you ever feel or notice judgment from others with decisions you've made since Eric has passed? Because you're a different person and you were grieving, still grieving, do you ever feel like there's some things that people have judged you on based on how you have reacted with your grief?
I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't let that. I mean, if someone tried to judge me, I'd tell them to fuck the fuck off. So I would not. Not at this point. No, I don't care. In fact, I haven't cared. And I think the reason I haven't cared is because I'm surrounded by beautiful, wonderful people who've not put judgment on me.
Mm-hmm, same.
I have been surrounded by people who are absolutely supportive of everything I've done. And I think that generally speaking, and this is part of my happiness and finding it again and living in it, is that I do make fairly good decisions. They're thoughtful, they're methodical. I've made a few bad decisions that I recognize in my grief journey. And no one judges me for those. I personally look back, I'm like, that was a bad decision. I can do better. But I don't have that. I'm blessed in that manner.
Yeah. For me, I think it's because I talk about grief.
Mm-hmm.
So those surrounded by me know that I am very open to talking about how I feel.
Right.
And so in explaining why I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like those, there's no judgment because I explain why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
For instance, I sign Gus and Hank up for all these activities.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are like, what the hell are you doing? Not to my face, but then I explain like, this is part of my grief. How I handle my grief is I like to keep us very busy. I don't like to be at home it's hard for me to be at home. And so, and then they are like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever feel like you're being judged, my advice would be to just explain why you're doing something, or just say, hey, this is how I'm, this is my way of grieving. And I think people understand that the more you talk about your grief, it helps. It helps you talk about your grief, but it also will help those around you feel more comfortable with talking to you about your grief.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that when you're thinking about how your grief and how everything is processing, right? And you're going through life and wondering what someone is thinking or saying and doing with your life. At the end of the day, nobody really cares that much about what we're doing. It's really not that impactful. They're asking because they're probably just inquisitive on how we're doing things too. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes they just, they actually want to know how we process and how we live day by day, how we get by.
Right.
Which is interesting that, you know, I think to some people we're an anomaly, right? We're this weird, like most, there's not a lot of people like us, right? They don't know a ton of widows where people are generally interested in like, oh my gosh, Allie, you're doing this. How do you do it? How do you get by?
Yes. Yes. The number one question I get by strangers that have just met me and know my story are like, do you have help? Is your family around?
Mm-hmm.
Because they do not understand how one does all of this.
Right. I have a friend who asked me once, he said, do you ever, are you ever around like people and then you get weird and you're like, oh yeah, I'm a widow. Like, because it's like just something that like comes up naturally in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get to that point where like you're talking to people and you're just automatically like, oh, I'm a widow, and like to fill the time or whatever?
I have not yet.
I mean, there's moments where like, I don't know why I do it, but like Ben is in this basketball team. And I needed him to be on the same practice team as another friend. So instead of just asking for it, of course, I had to be like, I'm a widow. I need help with transportation. I need my friend to help me. So I need them to be on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I probably didn't need to go the widow route, but for some reason I did.
I do. I can relate to that with my house because I don't. There's so much house shit. I do not fucking understand.
Right.
And I'm like, can somebody just freaking come over here and help me with the fucking dryer or whatever? Because I'm a widow. I can't do it all. I'm not a fucking superhero.
You are a superhero. I do pull that card with my house too sometimes.
Oh, the house stuff is just, yeah. I need a handyman or something that I can just call and be like, get your ass over here.
Yes. You do.
If anybody is willing to be that handyman, please write in.
Oh my gosh. I have to tell you, Allie, we have the coolest production team in the entire world. So I have to give a quick shout out on here. We don't ever really announce that who we record with, but we have the coolest team ever. Weberized Podcast Productions, Richard and Margie are by far the absolute most elite place to record. So I'm sitting here talking to Allie as she's going on, and I look to my left and they have this bookshelf of books over here, and they have a book called This Day in Rap and Hip Hop History, written by Chuck D. And so if you're a rap fan, you just know that these two are freaking cool.
We're going to take a picture tonight, Richard and Margie, and I'm posting it to Instagram.
I'm not wearing enough clothes.
So good. Thank God. Take it off.
I'm not sure tonight's the night, Al.
It is. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Brought it up.
Oh, I love you.
I love you, too. I love you, too. So let's see. What else do we have?
Oh, I do have a last question somebody wrote in. I don't know how to answer this, so I need your help. Do you ever feel like you will be ready for dating?
When Eric first died, I would say absolutely not. Like, there was no chance I was going to date. And 6 months ago, I would say absolutely not. There's no chance I was going to date. I suppose now I would say I'm more open to the thought of dating.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm necessarily
ready.
Ready.
Right.
But I'm open to considering the thought of.
Yeah. I think it's the loneliness. It's like,
yeah,
I don't really want to be alone for the rest of my life. I mean, I have Crystal.
Right.
We're going to be
golden girls.
Golden girls. Like, I got my girl here.
Always. Always. It's never, we've never wavered from that in our time together.
Yeah.
I feel like you should buy me a ring though.
I will. I'll buy you whatever ring you want.
I put my ring on the other day.
Do you want me to propose to you?
Yeah, I feel like you should propose to me. Treat me like a lady, like I am.
I mean, I'm a lady too.
You are. Do you want a ring? I'll buy you a ring.
Oh my gosh. We should get tattoos.
Yes, we should
get tattoos. I never thought I would get a tattoo. That is one thing that I have been thinking about, and I never thought in a million years I would get a tattoo.
Was the question that you don't know how to answer was, are you going to date again?
I just don't know. I just don't think I don't know that answer.
Yeah.
Audience.
Yeah. I mean, audience, it's.
That one's still up in the air for me.
Yeah.
It's scary. I'll be honest. It scares the crap out of me.
Yeah. I mean, it scares me too, but it's, I think it's just part of life.
Yeah.
I mean, human beings need one another. I have you. You have me.
Yeah. I have you.
So, but I'm more open to it now than I was any time before by the last like 3 months.
If anybody wants to date Crystal. right in.
I think Allie should rescind that statement and we will be editing that out. Allie's dying to get me married off again.
No, I think it would be great to have an episode of Who Wants to Date Crystal?
She's been asking me if she can do an episode on Who Wants to Date Me for like the past.
It just would be fun.
How long have you been asking me that? Like the last 30 days?
Yeah, maybe. It's just for fun.
Yeah. I'm not a piece of meat.
I know that. Gosh.
Hot piece of ass? Yes. Piece of meat? No. I love this podcast.
I love this podcast too. On that note, we're probably going to end. Before we end, I want to, because I've had a couple friends that are under 40 that have got diagnosed with breast cancer in the last like 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
And they're under 40. And so they were not able to get mammograms. Like, so... If you feel anything different with your body, this is just a reminder to don't be afraid to get it checked out. Mm-hmm. Follow your gut.
That's right. And push your healthcare providers.
Push your healthcare providers. Nobody is going to push it for you but yourself.
That's right.
Got it?
Thank you, Allie. That is really, really good advice.
I love you all.
I love you too. Sounding off.
Bye.
Two hot pieces of ass.